Shall we pray? Father, through the written word and through the spoken word, would you lead us to the living word, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Saviour. Amen. I guess I'm being videoed or live streamed, so I better not roam around too much then. Yes. Sure. Well, I'll wave and try and acknowledge that as well there. It's thank you so much for inviting me here and allowing me to come for my almost penultimate Sunday in the diocese. And thank you for choosing great hymns and for playing them, Megan and Bob. Crowned with Many Crowns is one of my all-time favourite hymns. I've chosen it for my funeral. Sorry, I haven't chosen it for my funeral. I've asked that if anyone has a problem picking a hymn for my funeral, I've always liked Crowned with Many Crowns. The only reason I know that is we're moving house, and I've written out in 2007 a sort of end-of-life directive if anyone wants to know what to do with me. And one of the last line was, if you have any trouble with hymns, Crowned with Many Crowns has been a favourite. Ineffably sublime. I didn't even know what that meant, really, but the words were so powerful. I think it means beyond words, ineffable. Can't put something into words. And not because you're so shocked and horrified, but sublime, because it's beyond who we are, beyond our own experience. God will always be that side outside and that size that we can't fully comprehend. And that's something to ponder and to wonder over, but not to worry about. Because that God who is so outside our limit comes down to us in Jesus Christ. I'm giving away clues about what I'm likely to preach at my farewell sermon next Sunday, but I want to talk about the presence of God next Sunday. But today we're in the Easter season still, so alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. We are in a season where we've gone from the accounts of the resurrection in the Bible, and we're moving inexorably and slowly towards Ascension Day, which is this Thursday, and then on the 19th, Pentecost Sunday, when we remember and celebrate the giving of God's Holy Spirit. Now, every Sunday is really a day of resurrection, and even the strictest Lent observers will allow themselves a small glass of sherry on a Sunday because it's not officially a fasting day. We can celebrate the resurrection throughout the year, but the church gives us a short season to focus on it. And I think it's very wise that it does so, because initially we get the rather bewildering experience of the women at the tomb and the first disciples that resurrection has happened. And it's the individuals that gradually have to make sense of it. And we can see that they struggle. Mark's gospel really leaves us absolutely struggling, just those almost ineffable words of the angel, he's not here, he's risen. But they don't encounter him at that point. And then they do encounter Jesus. And it's clear that he's risen. He's eaten with them. He's physically alive and risen from the dead. But it isn't as things were in the beginning, so they are now. It's a change. Jesus' reality of resurrection needed the disciples to come to terms with that, and it's taken time. And I think for all of us, if we simply say, oh yes, Jesus was risen from the dead, that's fine, I think we're missing the point. We are seeing something completely new, which should be changing and challenging us every time we think about it. Jesus tried to prepare his disciples, A, for his death, and B, for his resurrection. And they had the privilege of being face to face with him and could speak to him and ask him questions, and they didn't understand it. They couldn't get what he was talking about. It was so difficult. It was veiled from their sight. And yet these are the people whose lives were so changed that they went out and changed the world, starting with the communities in which they are. And that's what we are called to do as well. To change the world, but to start with the areas where we live. And so Jesus preparing his disciples couldn't quite get it through. And then when he's risen from the dead, lo, the early accounts were just in their wonder and in their amazement. And they doubted and they wondered. But Jesus wasn't just calling individuals into a belief that he'd risen from the dead. He was calling them to be a people who would work together to see the world changed. And as we move towards Pentecost, the emphasis on our teaching is less and less about the personal realization that Jesus had risen from the dead, but how do we work together to see that reality borne out in our own lives? How do you help me? And in the lives of the church, how do we help other people? I've said many times, people have said, thank you for what you've done here, very kindly. But I feel completely convinced that I have been more formed by being the bishop here and being interaction with you than I've done anything in forming other people. We work together to proclaim and realize the reality of the risen Christ. And so we get that too in John's gospel, those amazing passages, which are often called the farewell discourses, those chapters where Jesus washes his disciples' feet, teaches and speaks to them, and then prays for them. And we have those passages to look at. We need to look at it through the lens of the resurrection, because we are people of the resurrection, but this was given before Jesus died. And it was given, I think, because in John's gospel, nothing is really separated out very well. In Jesus, everything has come to be: the incarnation, the teaching, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension are all part of what Jesus came to do. And it's hard to just take one part and ignore the other. So as you look at Jesus speaking in this passage, it follows on from Jesus saying, I am the true vine, my Father is the gardener. And it talks about the branches, and we probably heard, if we read about that passage last week, the question that came to me was, as much as I like the image of a garden with lots of individual plants growing, with a vine, we're all part of the same plant. We may be different branches, but we're all part of the same plant. And there's something about being together and a unity which is important to us. Jesus talks about coming from the Father. Just as the Father sent him, so he's going to send us. And just as Jesus abides in the Father and we are to abide in Jesus, so we are to go out into the world and proclaim this message. In my own personal reading this morning, I'm reading Luke's gospel. And I read in the chapter when Jesus gave authority to his disciples, authority over evil spirits and illnesses, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. Only he doesn't say what it is to proclaim the kingdom of God. That's something that we have to realize and make sense of in our own situation. We don't have a cloned message that we can get out of our back pocket and read anytime someone asks us about God. We have to take our own experience of how we've encountered God and how it's made a difference and what God's calling us to do. The passages that Jesus is speaking from, these end time discourses, are very much challenging passages. He tells Peter quite bluntly that you will deny me. Then we have a chapter break, but if we were just reading without the chapter break, we'd say the next words are, do not let your hearts be troubled. So there's no condemnation in Jesus speaking to his disciples at that point. He recognizes that he is going to be killed. He's going to be killed by people who will hate him and spit upon him. And he still goes forward to it. He also recognizes that his followers will desert him. And he still goes forward. He knows that one of them will betray him. And he knows that Peter, at any rate, perhaps taking it on his shoulders for all of us, will deny him. But still he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Because I think when we look at the gospel, the kingdom, what we have to proclaim, we have to recognize it has to be one of joy. God wants his joy to be in us, his joy and delight in creation, his joy and delight at the birth of new babies and new life, just like James sitting at the back, his delight in sunrises and sunsets and in beauty. He wants to be in us so that our joy may be complete as we recognize God through Jesus Christ. So there is an invitation into joy and also into peace and into wholeness and into that word, that four-letter word that we can say in church, love. a very difficult word because love has been so abused in society. I love ice cream. Well, actually, I don't, but a lot of people do. Love is a costly and an energetic and a discipline that requires all of us, because it requires us to engage with God, who is love. And that's so out of our experience that we get Jesus walking amongst us to show us what love is, and then to call us into living that love out with others. The gospel will always be good news. As we understand it and appreciate it, our lives will change as individuals, but also as a community, because we are all branches from the one vine. I don't see Jesus condemning when he says, branches that don't abide in me are just like those that shrivel up and have to be burnt. I don't see that as a prediction of some form of hell, but just as a stating reality. We need to abide in Jesus to have our life. And that's what we do as we read the scriptures, as we pray, as we meet together, and as we serve. Jesus will be physically going on Ascension Day. The disciples had a few days, about 50 days, to get used to this new reality of Jesus. They couldn't just say, "What did you mean there, Jesus?" because he had a habit of disappearing. But he did promise them his Holy Spirit. So not only would Jesus be present with them physically, but actually his breath would be in them. And we see that symbolically given on Pentecost Sunday. Or if we're a little bit more introvert, we can go to the upper room and have Jesus breathe on us quietly himself and give us his Spirit. Whatever it is, his Spirit is given that we can be new people. Jesus always prepared his disciples for what was coming. They didn't always understand it and take it in. He continues to prepare us for what's coming. And as we prepare to receive symbolically the Holy Spirit again on Pentecost Sunday, we can be open to sitting with the disciples, questioning, wondering, allowing ourselves to be changed as we come into the presence of the risen Christ. Offer these words in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, I'm conscious that in any church, when someone preaches, they're grandstanding because they've got the microphone and they can speak louder than anyone else. I try, and I'm very happy to have sermons challenged. In fact, I like it. I'm going to be staying for coffee afterwards and quite happy for someone to challenge me there. But if you feel that I've spoken heresy, I think it's important that you say it first. If you think that God may have spoken to you and you want to share that, equally, it's another time that you can speak. I've got a microphone on so I can still shout back that I disagree with you as I sit down.
Thank you, Bishop Steve.